Oh, man, I can't imagine it, but I know it's going to happen. Jesus has promised it. One day you and I will stand flawless before the throne. Grab that for just a moment. Is that not amazing? And we hope today, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just like really out front, straight up, so that you can get it. That means if you have never asked Christ to come to your life and to be saved, guess what? We hope you walk out of here saved. Y'all, is that straight enough? And so we're going to be talking about this. What does it mean to let go of a new year? What does it mean to grab? What does it mean to grab a new opportunity, a new time? So if you don't mind, go with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and following. Everybody have a good Christmas time. Everybody enjoy their time with their family and stuff. And at our particular Christmas, my mother added she always adds these new Christmas experiences. And, so there we are gathered up, and we have a large family, wants to get us all together. And so my mom, when we came in, you don't argue with my mom, you know. Christine, you don't argue with mamas, especially grandmamas and great-grandmamas. And so, she said, you're supposed to write down something that you're thankful for. So we wrote down things that we were thankful for, and then we put them in this basket. And so after we finished the meal and ate way too much, we had to read these, and then we had to guess who said them. Well, we read this one, and it said, God is on the throne. Well, everybody guessed me, because that's, you know, what professional preachers are supposed to say, stuff like that. But it wasn't me. We went on guessing. And finally, we found out it was Pops, my father. And he had written, God is on the throne. And my dad's a man of wisdom. He's lived several decades. It was an interesting, he's an intellectual, and God is on the throne. We said, Pops, why that? He said, after all the decades I've lived, I've become convinced of one thing. God is in charge no matter what. And he said, I come from a moment of depression to now. And he said, and guess what? God is on the throne. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, he's seen so many different things in his lifetime. I said, you know what? God is on the throne. So it kind of led me to this text. We're not in charge. God is in charge. How many of y'all agree with that? We're not in charge. God is in charge. Now, how many of y'all would like to think you're in charge? Come on. Come on. I mean, you know, sometime through the year, I think I'm in charge. And I forget a very simple statement. God is on the what? Throne. All right? I want to go three things today. I want you to take in the new year. God is in charge. You have been given something. What will you do with it? Those three statements. God's what? You've been given something. How many of y'all realize everybody been given something? See, I don't buy this stuff. Now watch, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, and I appreciate everybody being here today. I know, you know, crazy holiday weekend. We got people going in and out, getting back, going 100 different directions. But you know what? I'm glad you're here today. Because I want you to think about this. Everybody's got something. And if you're going to hang out at Hillview, you have to make this adjustment. We believe there's no such thing as an unworthy human being. Okay, and here's why. Because we believe God could save anybody. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Now, see, I really believe that. I believe that anybody in here can be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now in this new year, we need to understand grace. Grace doesn't give us permission to not live. In fact, grace is the power that causes us to live. See the difference? And so, man, I'm going to hit some scripture today. I want y'all to hold on. It's going to blow your minds because I'm going to go counter everything you've heard in America for the last 80 years. Here's what you're going to discover. God does not agree with our philosophy at this moment of time. God does not agree with our philosophy at this moment of time. Now, this is nothing new in human history. How many of you all believe you know more than God? And this is why history looks like it looks like it repeats itself. It looks like it repeats itself, but it really doesn't repeat itself. It's just human beings never learn. They're not God. So they go back and do the same stupid thing again, and they get the same stupid result again, century after century, millennium after millennium, because guess what they refuse to learn? They refuse to learn this. We're not in what? Charge. So if you're going to follow Christ, our job is to follow, not to be in charge. And that's a tough thing to do, because what's everybody told us since we were little babies? Especially if we grew up here in American culture, what have we been told? We're precious. We're important. If you are 30 and down, we actually cared about your self-esteem. If you're 30 and up, we didn't know anything about self-esteem. We heard get her done. Amen. We get her done. I want you to know this is really going to bother some of you all. Some of you all 20-somethings, you don't know life without a trophy. Bless your precious hearts. I remember I went absolutely crazy when my child was a preschooler. It started. First of all, we had to play soccer and not keep score. That's the first thing that set me off. I said, everything's got a score to it. I said, are you married? You keep score. Okay, it's just part of it. Okay, it's four-year-old soccer. I never forget it. It's four-year-old soccer. A lot of y'all been through this experience. Four-year-old soccer, thought of by some theoretic people who think they can rid the world of competition. Baloney. Mayor, you know how long it took those four-year-olds to figure out what the score was? 1 minute. And those four-year-olds knew, guess what? They knew some people could kick the ball better than others. And the smart four-year-olds kicked the ball over to the guy that could kick it better than the others. They were called intelligent. Now, I want to deprogram us of something, man. I'm telling you, it's in all of us. We believe sameness is unity. And that's a lie. I mean, I'm just telling you what it is. It's a lie. None of us will ever be the same. And here's why. God didn't create us all the same. He created. It doesn't say he created us the same. It says he created all of us to be his. But not everybody's got the same stuff. True or false? How many of y'all figured out? How many of y'all have ever been through this one? Here, I'll show you how bad it is when we all think we're the same. How many of y'all have ever been through one of these experiences? If you grew up in a rural area, country area somewhere, you probably went to a small country church, and you probably had the experience of one of the deacon's daughters that was going to sing a solo for everybody that could not sing. I mean, have you ever been through this church? You know, you get through a few songs, and here she comes in all of her glory. She comes up to the pulpit, and she goes, I can't sing, and I don't want to sing, but the Lord's asked me to sing. Now, I wanted to say, no, he hadn't. Because the Lord wouldn't ask anybody to sing that couldn't sing. I went through this a lot in revivals, you know. Well, I just feel humbled by God that he would ask me to come up here. I can't sing, and I hope it blesses y'all. And I go, well, if you can't sing, it ain't going to bless me. And guess what? After they got done, I wasn't blessed. How many of y'all have ever been through that? How many of y'all have ever been through one of these singers that couldn't sing, and you got a definition of what hell really was? And it went on and on and on like the song that was never going to end. Hello? Why? They can't sing. Now, hold on. I'm going to show you something. When we started giving everybody a trophy, we started messing everybody up. And it's a deceptive kind of deal. And I want to show you why I'm hitting this. In the new year, you need to understand God gives everybody something. And if you don't know what you don't have, then you won't know what you do have. See where we started deceiving folks? And it all ends up eventually the consequence comes. We do this little thing in athletics today. We believe all the children should participate. And we do it in football, which drives me crazy because we get other children hurt when there are lemon heads that can't play. Okay, that is not a game that we all participate because everybody hits. That makes sense? Baseball, it works out okay. You in the outfield by yourself, the ball hits your head. Okay? In football, everybody's got to work together. So when you choose not to block somebody, that means the running back that is good gets killed behind you. And so we get other people killed so everybody can participate. Ooh, that sounds like the world I live in today. Let's take everybody down so everybody can feel good. That's the world we're living in today. Crazy. We've lost our everlasting minds. It all started about 80 years ago when we started saying everybody was the same. We're not. Now, here's what's interesting. God never said that. He said we was all blessed. We're all his. But he never used the concept that everybody's the same. In fact, he said quite the opposite. Some can do this, some can do that, some can do this, and all together we make it happen. Does that make sense? Now I'm going to take you to this parable. It's interesting. This is Jesus' words. I didn't say it, so don't email me. Talk to Jesus about it this week if you get mad. Email him. He's the originator of this discourse. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and following. Amazing. Now remember, God's on the throne. Everybody's got something, and we need to participate with what we got. Does that make sense? Clay, you've been involved in athletics and stuff for years. Not everybody the same, right? I mean, when you were doing your aerobics class, there's some of them people in there really aerobicizing. Other people just barely in class. You see what I'm saying? Not everybody was the, you know, and some people had them stretch pants on that could wear them, and other people were stretching out the pants. Not everybody same. Y'all see what I'm saying? Not everybody's a what? Now, here's the problem. It's not good or bad. It's are we going to use, are we going to participate, are we going to invest what we have? Now, here's the story that Jesus tells about the kingdom of God. He said it's like a journey. It's like a man that owns. It's like a master that's in charge that entrusts his wealth to his servants. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. Who's telling this story? Jesus telling this story. Who do you think the master is in this story? You all are so sharp. All right, let's go home. Y'all got it. Really? Jesus the master. And what's he do? Amber, he entrusts wealth into you. You've already been through this first little part of your little life journey. Your parents entrusted, invested, and sent you up here to the hill. And you did well with your investment because you came out with a degree. Now they're done with you because you have something to invest. Isn't that cool? And we invest in many different ways. So the question I want to ask you as we close out a year and come into a new year, what are you going to invest? And you never quit investing, do you? Some of y'all got grandchildren. Some of y'all got great-grandchildren. Some of y'all thinking about having a kid. Some of y'all don't even want to be married for the next 25 years. Okay, see what I'm saying? But we all got different what? Investments. Those of y'all that do business, if you're not investing constantly in your business, what happens to it? It's no longer a business. You know, do we fly the same planes, Jim, that we flew, that you flew back in your day? And if we did fly those planes, what would happen to us when we went to war? We would die. This is the problem. People want things to stay the same. What if we were fighting new wars with World War II artillery? Couldn't win, couldn't compete. So we're constantly investing. Now notice this. We got a master and he gives. We got a God and he what? Gives. And he gives all of us something. If you don't mind, just so everybody will be awake today. It is a holiday weekend. Could be dangerous. If you'll just lean over toward your neighbor and go, you have something. Go ahead and share that with them. Come on, you have something. You have something. I want you to remind him, Elizabeth, you have something. I have something. You got most of it, but I have something. Huh? Everybody got something. Is everybody aware of that? Now, we're going to open up a miracle in here. I want you to dream with me for a minute. Because you see, one got five. And in the new translation of this, one got five bags of money. One got two bags of money. And one got what? One bag of money. Now, what's everybody fixing to scream? Not fair. Now, let me help you. God doesn't care. He gave one five, one two, one one. Now here's what we want. We want everybody to have two. And then split the last one. I want you to know that's never happened in human society. One's got five, one's got two, one's got one. Somebody help me. Everybody's got something. And see, why the problem is we're starting to look at what somebody else has got. And when you look at what somebody else has got, you'll never invest what you have. Is somebody hearing what I'm trying to tell you? Now, I got to preach this a little bit, Because you're holding on to a blessing that God has given you, but you can't see it because you're too busy looking at what everybody else has. And we got some theories. If you take the five guy and the two guy and you give it to the one guy, that the one guy's going to be in a different kind of guy. No, he's not. Because he doesn't know how to invest. So it doesn't matter if you give him 500 or you give him one, he'll end up in the same spot. I'm going to show you something. Now watch. Here's what happened. One had five, one had two, one had one. Did everybody get something? Did everybody get something? How many of y'all realize everybody in this room's got something? Like I can't see. You know, for instance, Pastor Jamie. Y'all know Pastor Jamie, don't you? He's a five kind of guy. He can preach. He can sing. He can dance. He can do the splits. And he can analyze sports statistics better than anybody. He got five talents. I'm a one. I can talk. If I lose my voice, Lisbon and I aren't going to eat. I got one. So I got to use what? One. That's all I got. I can't fix a car. And you can't talk a car fixed. You gotta find what you have and then what? Use it. Does somebody follow me here in this new year? See, this is where some of you are getting lost. You're looking at the five and the two guy, and you're not looking at what the master gave you. Because the master gave you something that, guess what? It's going to bring you to life. We all got grace. It's not about the amount. You hear me, young Thule? It's not about the amount. It's about the investment. You ready? Check this out. Then the guy goes away. He goes on a journey. The guy who has five and the guy who has two, guess what that guy does? Both of them go and invest. The one that has five gets what? And the one that gets two gets what? If my math is correct now, one's got 10 and one's got four. Is my math correct? Now notice this. The one that has 10 has twice as much, if my math is correct, as the one who has four. Am I still correct? Help me, math geniuses. Would that be true? Well, if you got 10... The other one's got 10, and the other one's only got 4. The guy with 10 is more. More than twice as much. Not fair! Tax that sucker! Hold on. What did both of them do? And both of them increased. Hold on, in the new year, here's what I'm challenging you to do, church. Invest. Never quit investing what God has given to you. Guess what? He's given every one of y'all something. Now, I'm just showing you that this is God's principle. And you can talk about it and you can twist it and you can come up with all kinds of new theories. But I'm just going to tell you what I've observed. Okay? They tell me I'm in midlife. I don't know how they know that because I don't know when it ends. So I don't know where the midpoint is. You know what I'm talking about? I've never been able. People go, well, you're midlife. I say, how do you know? I don't know when it's going in. I don't know what part of life I'm in. I don't do all those tricks. I just say I'm living. And here's what I've found observing in life. I've seen very few people go hungry that work. And the people I see that make it don't do this. Well, I can't do that. I'm way above that. They'll do whatever it takes to make it happen. Y'all ever seen people like that do whatever it takes to make it happen? Did you know, I know people here in Bowling Green that came to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and guess what they had in their pocket? $1,200. That's all they had in their pocket from another country. And they have built two complete restaurants with no help from anybody. Other than they took what they had and they invested. This is live 21st century stuff. But they didn't look about where they came from. They look at what they had. Is somebody listening? See, my dad, it kind of stopped me. He said, God's on the throne. God's on the throne. And I know where my dad came from. My dad came from what I would look at that and say, man, my dad came from nothing. I mean, he born in the mountains, in a shack, in a shanty. No electricity, no running. I mean, mountain. You see, but he never looked at where he was from. He looked at what he had, and he invests what he had, and he's taught us to invest what he had. And then I grew up and started reading the Bible. I said, oh, he got that out of the Bible. You see, one had five, one had two, one had one. Everybody has something. Everybody had what? And the one who had five got five more. The one who got two got two more. They went at once and put it to work. Now, I want to challenge y'all. How many of y'all have some things that need to be put to work? Abilities. It need to be awakened and put to work. Now, I know some of y'all look at me and say, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm retired. You never retire. You may quit working at the same place, but you don't ever retire. You always got things you need to be investing in. Amen? We have a rule at Hillview, you cannot get old. You can get miles, but you can't get old, okay? Watch this. Some of our greatest investments here are people who've lived a long time. They got wisdom. They got energy. They got time. We got to keep putting our lives invested into life. Does that make sense? I love people that still live. I want to live to the last breath. How many of y'all want to live to the last breath? Every day, I want to live to the last breath. I'm going to be invested in something. The last breath. Now look at this. The Lord has invested in us his wealth, his hope, his peace, his joy, his love, his truth. He's invested in us. What are we supposed to do? Get it out. Invested in other people, right? Now let me show you something that happened to the guy who had one. The guy had one. Guess what he did? He dug a hole and took what he had and put it in a hole. I have a lot of people get mad at me. They say, Pastor Ayers, you're not very merciful. You don't understand about people's opportunities. And I said, well, I said, since you want a dialogue with me, I want a dialogue. I said, I have a hard time having mercy in the nation I've grown up in. Because we have something in our nation that a lot of nations don't have, that we take for granted and criticize often. Guess what it's called? Public school. And in our great nation that was built by great people that understand the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what they created? Public school. And that meant that no matter where you came from, you had an opportunity to be taught. So I have a hard time having a great mercy for a guy who sat in the same public school, just like I did, sat right beside me by a school funded by the same public tax dollars that I went to. And he decides not to listen to the teacher, and I decide to listen to the teacher. Now, my question is, why should I pay for him? Because he decided to not invest his opportunity. Now, hold on. Here's where it gets unjust. If we didn't provide him an opportunity, we're in error. But you know what? Americans don't like to hear this. We get more opportunities than any other group of people on the face of the earth. You kids will hate living in some of these Asian cultures. They talk about their math scores. You know why their math scores are high? Because by age 12, if you decided to not participate in school, then they decide the rest of your life, you're going to broom school. And you know what? They find that their students are highly motivated in the elementary years. You know why? Because there's a consequence to their investment. Well, let me tell you, there's a consequence no matter what. No matter what you do, there's going to be a what? Consequence. And we're all shocked by consequences. Lord have mercy. I got so tired of hearing about, they'd go, well, women get pregnant. That doesn't happen walking down a sidewalk. I ain't never seen a woman walk down a sidewalk and receive a child. The only woman I know that got pregnant on her own was the Mother Mary. And as far as I have read, that's only happened one time. All the rest of the times, I believe it was somebody else involved in getting this pregnancy thing happening. True? Well, why don't they pay for what they've done? Uh-oh. You mean a consequence from my investment? Hold on. If you invest in sin, guess what you'll reap? Destruction. The Bible says so. If you invest in righteousness, guess what you reap? Righteousness. And here's what we're trying to do, because I want you to be aware of this. Watch this. Listen, the world changes when people change their mind. That's the way the world changes. I don't want to hear about politics. I don't want to hear about politics. Politicians don't change people. What's this? People change politicians. See, they can only put on us what we're willing to accept. And the problem is, we think there's a life out there that you can do whatever you want to do and reap God's reward. That's not true. You got to do what God wants you to do to reap God's reward. And here's what God said. He said, listen, take what I've given you, live it out. Quit worrying about who got five, who got two, and who got one. Take what you have and what? Invest it. Did I tell y'all everybody got something? I've never seen a human being that's worthless. Everybody's got something. And that's why I love every one of you. But let's be honest. I think some of y'all got your stuff hidden and dug and put in a hole. Amen? You go, well, keep it down. Keep it safe. Keep it safe. Scooter, in that university, guess what? There's no safe spot if you're going to achieve academically. It's just like being a quarterback and having one of them big 6'6", 310, 4.5, 40 defensive ends running at you. You better throw fast. Amen? Because pain is coming. Right? You got to be ready. You got to be alert. How many of y'all are going to invest? Or are you going to hide? I'm about finished. Be careful. For all you students, those of you that, how many of y'all had to go home and give an account to the money your parents had spent? I remember Christmas. I was always very smart. I never turned the grade card in to after Christmas was over. That's just a heads up. Son, where's your grades? I don't know. The university's got them hung up somewhere. They were in my room. Problem with my grades, John, was when I brought them. Like the first semester, my dad did not make a wise investment. Any of y'all ever had one of those semesters? And so instead of putting, he's about to put me in a hole if I didn't straighten up. See what I'm saying? You know what my dad finally said? He said, if you're not going to use my money well, then you can pay for it with your own money. Guess what I started doing? Making good grades. Yeah, you got to watch out. Here's what happened to the guy that had one. Look what he did. He took what he had. The master came back. He settled accounts. The guy who made five, the guy who had two, they both get the same reward. Their master said, come on in, you good and faithful servant. Now notice this. You've been faithful with little. Now I'm going to put you in charge of a lot more. That's just the secret to life. If you want more, what's the key to more? With little. I see we can't say it because that's not the way we're programmed in America. We want big without the price. Drew? Yeah. But you got to be faithful with little. What's that going to blow you away? How many of y'all in high school? Anybody here in high school? You've started your college career. No, really, guess when you started your college career? In elementary school. Tula, you're really in college right now. It just hadn't been revealed yet. What do you think? Because the grades you make now affect later. Please catch on to that at your age. Pastor Steve did not. And he did not invest well in his studies in high school. So when he went to college, guess what college was? Watch this. I was amazed that they wanted you to read a whole book. How dare those professors think such crazy thoughts as that? No, seriously, honestly. First class I had was an Old Testament class. First morning of my college experience, the professor went, we're going to take on the first four chapters by the next class. I raised my hand. I said, Doc, let me ask you a question. Today we're having school. Yes, sir. Tomorrow we don't have class, which, by the way, I think is a wonderful idea because then I didn't have skip. I mean, they skip for you. And then the next day we're coming back to class, and you want us to have read four chapters? He said, yes, sir. Well, I went into a deep panic because, see, you see, I had a problem. I hadn't read four chapters in 4 years of high school. I started reading. I read two chapters, and it looked like I'd been smoking dope for 3 hours. My eyes went totally bloodshot red. Some of my roommates thought I was in there smoking. I said, I ain't got nothing. They said, what have you been doing? I said, reading the Old Testament. It's what it did to me because I'd never used my eyes because I had an investment. So guess what I did? I paid a price. Because I put some stuff in a hole. Now, hold on. Got a new year coming. Amen. It's time to dig out. Hello? Of what we've hid out. Look what this guy did. He didn't get the reward of his master because he didn't have the heart of his master. He took what he had and he hid it. And since he didn't have anything, guess what he did? I'm going to show you how. This was written 2,000 years ago. It seems like today. When you don't have anything to show, you always have an excuse to give. I'm sure he had dysfunctional parents. I'm sure he had a hard life. He probably had one of the alphabet diseases we've created. I'm sure he had something matter with him, aren't you? Some heartbreak story. Now, here was his story. Well, Master, I knew you were a hard man. Oh, I knew you weren't a fair man. I knew you had planted where you hadn't harvested. I knew you were tough. I knew that you were a hard man in harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. Guess what? Don't argue with the Master, because guess what the Master said? Also, you knew I was a hard man? If you knew I was a hard man, you should have at least put my money on interest. By the way, I just want you to know, on the day of judgment, there will be no excuses. And God is beyond fair. He is just. You know what that means? Those who have invested well will receive their reward, and those who have been lazy and wicked will receive theirs. There's a consequence eventually. Here's where people have been conned. You think grace excuses you from your laziness. Absolutely not. Grace makes me invest. Grace calls me to invest. Grace wakes me up to a new way of life. It doesn't keep me in the hole. It digs me out of it and says, now I'm going to invest with what God's given me. Does that make sense? I'm going to tell you what he called him. This is Jesus. I'm sorry. For those of you all that want Jesus to be politically correct and really socially acceptable, he really stinks at that. Let me tell you what he called them. He said to the servant, you, go ahead and put it on the Bible screen here because I want people to see the word of God here. You wicked, lazy servant. How politically correct is that? How much heat would I have today if somebody came to me and says, well, I don't have anything. And I went, you wicked, lazy servant. Oh, Pastor Steve, you unmerciful individual. You are horrible. Really? Because I'm going to ask you a question. What did you do with what you've been given? Well, what'd you do with that high school education that you had been given from everybody else's money? What did you do with that scholarship that a whole lot of hardworking people gave to you? What did you do with that marriage that God gave you? What did you do with those children that God put in your house? What did you do with the house that God gave you? What did you do with the car that God gave you? What did you do with what the Lord has provided unto you? And I hope here at Hillview, guess what God can say? You good and faithful servant. Y'all were faithful with what you had. Come on in, and I'm going to show you all that I have in store. Since you've been faithful with a little, now I can put you in charge of what? Much. Does this make sense? Everybody get this? I'm actually finished today. Do you get these principles? Sarkozy, I'm telling the truth. Me and you aren't old, but we're old enough to know this works. By the way, that's all I'm going to tell you. Chavin, I don't know about you. You and I are about the same age. We're older than we used to be. How's that? These golden years they talk about, I hadn't found them yet. Have you? No, I find that everything hurts. Hair falls out, turns color. I got on the scales and I scared myself. I did, I scared myself. But I'm doing it for Elizabeth. I told her I'm going to get real big so she'll always look real pretty. That's what I'm going to do. I'm sacrificing myself to do that. She didn't buy it. She said, you're running come the new year. I hate to run with my wife. I hate to run. But I really hate to run with her because guess what she says? You a sissy, come on, go another mile. Here's all I've found about getting older that makes any sense. I can definitely tell you what doesn't work. Because I've tried it enough times, it doesn't work. And this doesn't work. excusing yourself or looking at what other people have will never bring things into your life. But doing exactly what the Bible taught us today in the new year, invest what you've been given. What you've been given. See, that's why it's a simple principle. Like, here's what I don't understand. Love your own wife. Quit looking at somebody else's wife. It gets a lot of people in trouble. Love the one you got. It's enough. The other one you're looking at is as much trouble as the one you got. Guarantee it. You see, some of you have had that experience in life. You thought you was chasing heaven and you found hell again. Because it's not in, it's your investment. Does that make sense? Got to beware. Got to be careful. Now, some of you today, guess what you need to do? You need to receive what he wants to give. I mean, I don't get it. Tears me up every Sunday. Guess what? I watch some of you all walk out of here without Jesus Christ. Oh, breaks my heart. You know what I pray for you? I say, Lord, please bring them back next week so they can hear you again. But you know what I do know? I got enough sense. Eventually, there's a consequence, and you're not going to be back. And without Jesus, guess what? You don't have anything to give. You stand before God without grace, that's not a good stand. Is that clear? I love you enough. I just put it straight. I mean, if you can't understand me, you can't understand. This is not a complicated faith. It's very direct. How many of y'all are so glad that God wants to forgive you of all your sin? Not some of it, all of it. Now, some of you are going, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe what I do, sin. Well, I hold to that argument. If you can stand before God and think that's going to work on the day of judgment, that's none of my business. That's yours. I don't think it's going to turn out real good, though. I am obligated to tell you that. That God hadn't done a survey on what we think. He's done a survey on those who will follow what he said. Well, Pastor Steve, it feels right. You know how many things feel right that'll kill you? It's a long list. That's why God never directed us to live by our feelings, because our feelings will lead us to destruction. His truth will set us into freedom. You see, the guy who hid the talent felt afraid, and it paralyzed his ability to achieve. The other two guys, they didn't worry about how they felt. They knew they were assigned to go. He said, well, what do you think would have happened if they went bust? I think God would have honored them. Because it's not about the amount. It's about the investment. And God honors those who go. Amen? They take the risk. Well, some of you need to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I just want you to know he wants to forgive you. Some of you sitting there, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand what I've done. No, I want you to understand he can forgive you. Whatever you've done. What if it's really bad? He's really good. He's that good. Watch this. Jesus loves you more than you are wicked. Does that make sense? Jesus loves you more than what? You are wicked. Now, for those of us that are following Jesus, our question is, what are we going to do in the new year with what Jesus has given? I do want to tell you this. We got to have some more people telling other people about Jesus. Is that cool? I got a big mouth, but not big enough. And you all know some special people, and I'm just going to ask you to simply tell them what Jesus is doing for you. Quit making a big deal about this. You don't have to pull out a track and go through all that stuff. That you're, just tell them about how God has blessed you. And guess what will start happening? The world will change. I'm so tired of everybody being mad at politicians. They're not what's messed up the world. We are. We, the people, have decided to blame everybody else for what we are responsible for. I'm responsible for investing what God has given me. And then you become responsible, and you become responsible. And we together, when we become responsible, what happens to the world we live in? It gets better. Y'all may disagree with me, but I'm right. Not everything's the same. Some of you are school teachers. Not everybody gets it like everybody. Principal Dan, what do you think? You have a school full of almost 1,000 students, correct? 600 of them. Hey, we'll cut it down 400. 600 students. And all of them are equally intelligent, right? There you go. They're not. I know it's hard for an educator to say, but they're not. Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. Some of them don't need to go to college. It's a waste of my money. But I'm going to tell you what. They can fix a car like nobody's business. And I don't know about y'all. When my truck ain't running, I don't need a neurosurgeon. I need a guy that can fix trucks. And when my truck's broken, that's the smartest guy I know. Because let me tell you, I can't fix it. See, every one of us are important. But guess what? We've decided to look down on people that fix trucks and lift up people that write papers. Let me tell you what's so funny. The guy that fixes trucks makes a lot more money than the guy that teaches school. I'm just telling you the truth. You had your truck fixed lately? You talking about bankrupt? Hold on, but watch, this is what I'm telling you. I hope you get this message. Nobody is unworthy. I don't know about you, but when I eat at a restaurant, the most important person in my life at that moment of time is that server. And you ought to tip them well. You know who that server is a lot of times? It's a single mother that's making an investment to work. And to the best of my ability, you know what I want to tell her? Keep on, girl. Keep on. That's the kind of world we need again. You ready to invest? Jesus is ready to invest in you. Some of y'all need to invest in baptism. How many of y'all need to invest in baptism? You hadn't done what God called you to do. Do what God calls you to do. Make sense? And here's what God calls you to do. Follow Him. That's more important than anything else. You say, well, I'm a Baptist. Guess what God says? Whoop-a-dee-doo. Some of you say, well, I'm a Catholic. Guess what God, even though the Pope's got a cool hat, guess what God says? Whoop-a-dee-doo. He's not God. I'm not God. You're not God. So it leads us to this conclusion, Amber. We're not God. But He is. And He wants us to invest with what we've been given. Now think what you got to invest in. If you're a father, you got to invest in your wife and your children. If you're children and you're going to school, you got to invest in learning right now. Watch this. If your parents give you chores, what do you need to do? Dooley, what do you need to do? Thank you. Do them. If you do them and mom and dad come home and you've done your chores, do they say, good and faithful servant, welcome to the cookie jar? And if you don't do your chores, they say, we're going to have a little talk about this, don't they? And that's usually not a fun talk. Amen. Yeah, same in the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Y'all been wonderful today. I don't know about y'all, man. I think it's pretty cool. 2013. I had no idea I was going to live this long. I had some chances to not be here along the way. But you know what? We're here. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if it's going to, watch this. It's going to be life. Here's what I'm calling you to do. Quit fussing and start investing. Quit blaming and start living. Amen? And hey, will we change the world? I don't know. We'll change the one we live in. Amen? Y'all been wonderful today. Some of you all have talked to me about baptism. If you'll come forward, we'll finish that conversation. Many more of you have said, man, what would Jesus Christ do in my life? Come receive Him and see. Amen? I don't know of a cooler idea than this. Why don't you start a new year saved? What a testimony. You can say, in 2012, I was going to hell. It almost rhymes, doesn't it? In 2012, I was headed to hell. Now we made it a country song. But at the end of that year, Jesus Christ, I believe He died on the cross and He rose from the grave, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. And guess what, Jesus? If you ask Jesus to come in your life, what will He do? Here's all I'm telling you. Listen, I'm not even giving you preacher talk here. Straight up, thousands of times, thank you, Jesus. I've had the privilege, literally thousands of times, of hearing people say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And guess what I've not heard one time? No. I've never heard somebody say, Lord Jesus, will you forgive me of my sin? And He says, sorry, you're not on the list. I've never heard that. I've never heard, Beth, I've never heard somebody say, Lord, will you forgive me? And He goes, no, 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 no. Can't do it. Never heard Jesus. Never heard Jesus say no. Jim, every time I've heard a soul say, Lord, will you forgive me? He says, of course I will. Come on here. Now, don't ask him how many he gave you. You say, Lord, am I a five, a two, or a one? You know what Jesus say? You mine. And that's enough. Now take what I've given you and live it well. Amen? We got some fives at Hillview's. We got some twos at Hillview's. We got a lot of ones at Hillview. But you know what? We got enough to change the world right here. Isn't that cool? Why'd you look at it like this? How many of y'all ate more than you needed to this past week? I did, that's for sure. God not only provided enough, I find that the majority of time God gives more than enough, abundantly. Yeah, we're blessed. I hope every one of us get a chance to be in other countries this year. We got several opportunities. Stay posted to the screens and the outside screens. You're going to see other country events that we're going to go share the gospel in. But you know what? We got to share it here at Bowling Green first. But when you go to these other countries, I guarantee you, your definition of poverty will definitely change. Yep. They're not talking about needing money to pay their electric bill for their widescreen, high-definition TV. Because they've never seen a TV. Because they would like to have a meal today. And we're obligated to make sure that everybody is provided for. Amen. God's done more than enough. Invest wisely. Let's stand together. Y'all have been wonderful today. Guests, thank you for being here. This is everybody's altar. Now y'all lock in. You lock in. It's the last altar call for 2012. Some people are going to receive Christ right now. Hey, lock in. Don't get restless on me. If you need to receive Jesus, pray with me right now. This prayer just gives you an outline. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know I've sinned. I know I have, Lord. I know I've messed up. Will you forgive me? Jesus, will you forgive me? I believe you died on the cross and rose from grave. You just ask him. He's got to convince you. If you've done that during the week or during the Christmas services and you haven't been baptized yet and you need to come for baptism, we invite you today to come and talk to Pastor Jamie, myself, others, and let's take that step of obedience. Let's get it done first of the year. Church, look at me. You ain't got to close your eyes while we're praying. Listen. It is time for us to be together in Christ like we've never been together. And it's time for you to tell your friends what's going on in your life. Amen. That baptism is still holding up, isn't it? It's good Sunday after Sunday, isn't it? Well, guess what? There's others of you that need to come and get that taken care of. Do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. The reason I look at you young people, let me tell you, the con job of the devil you got next Sunday. Who said? Who said that? Yeah, we did. The master didn't say you had next Sunday. In fact, the master said this, today is the day of salvation. You know why he said that? Because you and I don't have a guaranteed tomorrow until we receive Jesus. Now, I got a guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not worried about tomorrow because I'm either in heaven or here tomorrow. But I have a tomorrow. Without Christ, I only have what I see. With Christ, I have what I cannot see. Heaven. Isn't that cool? Let's open this altar. Take a few minutes. Talk to folks if you need to. We don't have a silent altar here. If some of you need to come talk about baptism, come on, let's talk about that. Some of you need to come and be saved. Let's talk about that. Some of y'all need to, if you will, dig, unearth what you've been hiding, that you've been given from God, and let's put it to work in this new year, okay? All right, church, you're welcome to come forward. Thank you for being here today. Come on, let's receive Christ. Let's be baptized. Let's be healed. Let's pray. Let's let God just speak to us in a real way. Thank you for coming, and as you come, may God be blessed. May God be glorified at this altar. Come on. May you be blessed by God.